But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, can you hear me? Dusty's microphone apparently is D-E-D dead. Just pull one around from the other side and utilize that one, Dusty. Grab the one in front of you with your left hand.
One second.
Oh, that does not sound good at all.
All right, we're good.
There we go. See, somebody always messes with the board at night. We've been dealing with this for years. Who comes in and messes with things? What was on this weekend that people needed to touch knobs for, right? We weren't carrying a playoff game. We didn't have any baseball this weekend, did we? Was there a Royals game this weekend that I missed out on?
It is what it is. Happy Monday. Welcome back to everything that is important. Now the Chiefs week starts. Now the preparation for a game starts. But before we get into that, we can dive into which was the weekend of the wild card. Obviously, no Chiefs game. We got to sit back and relax and have a stressless weekend. Didn't have to watch much. Was a good time this weekend watching meh, which is fine. In our group text that we have with everybody that works here, plus a few other guys that are involved, thought it was interesting. Main takeaway this weekend from some was that the NFL is a bad product that is marketed well. I'm sure you will hear that on the drive. And then you had the other guy who is a sourpuss about the Cincinnati Bengals not being in the playoffs, who said that college football is the same as the NFL. I disagree.
Well, the first round of the playoffs in college football weren't great. The first round in the NFL weren't great until last night. If you're just waking up, maybe you went to bed early and you didn't miss the Washington football team winning on a doink last night, right? Where's all the criticism of them? Oh, they only won on a doink and whatnot, like the Chiefs did. But you know what? It was the first round of the postseason. The only time a seven team's beaten a two since this format has started in 2020, I think, was like Dallas losing as a two seed, if I'm not mistaken, to Tampa as the seventh seed. So it hasn't happened a lot, but you know, we had football all weekend long, and you may not have loved the games. They may not have been as competitive as you have wanted, but hey, that's what it is. It's the NFL. Things like this tend to happen. And you know what? I kind of like the way the outcome played out this weekend. I like the fact that the Chargers went and took a dump. I like the fact that we're getting the Houston Texans. I like the fact that Baltimore and Buffalo get the opportunity to do battle before the winner has to come here to Kansas City. And I love the way that it ended last night with the Washington football team showing you how ownership really does matter. And when you have competent owners, you can do some really good things in the NFL. And the Washington football team got a big win last night, obviously, over a Tampa team. So I thought the weekend was fine. I mean, I don't know what your expectations were for wild card weekend. If you weren't excited about wild card weekend, I don't know what your expectations were, but I had football this weekend. I didn't have to stress this weekend, and I thought it was fantastic.
I mean, everybody in the AFC won. That was, you know, the home team.
Yeah, it was chalk for the most part. And now, you could even say Washington's chalk because they were a better record than the Tampa Bay football
team.
And
I will say, like, I thought, I mean, sorry, I'm not perfect. I thought the Chargers were going to win that game. I looked at both rosters. I looked at where both teams had been. I looked at the situation they were currently in, and I was wrong. And, you know, I was wrong because
Herbert, pump, throw, intercepted! Eric Murray! Pick six, touchdown, Texans.
That man, Justin Herbert, now owns a scarlet letter.
Mm-hmm.
And that scarlet letter is he's a different quarterback in the playoffs. Now, I know his sample size is small, but that was playoff game number two. Kind of the same thing. I mean, D'Amico Ryans outcoached Jim Harbaugh. And what I mean by that is he knew what to do defensively against Herbert's offense and offensively against Harbaugh's offense. Because what does Jim Harbaugh like to do? Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, then throw. They were up 6-0. Herbert was cooking. Ladd McConkey was probably the best thing that happened this week.
Yeah. I mean, he was great.
He had 197 yards, yep. Most ever by a rookie in the playoffs in the history of the NFL. Fantastic showing for him. And Herbert threw 4 interceptions, and he threw 3 all year, and that was like the laughing stock of everything for the rest of the day, mm-hmm. was that he threw more interceptions in that playoff game than he had thrown the entire year of 2024. And again, I think the one thing that goes back to it that I think we all have to remember is, one, yes, Dusty Likens here on Fesco and Dusty picked the Chargers to win. Sorry. Two, I think you have to understand how important home games are in the playoffs. And Houston rested everybody in week 18. They had a home game to wait for. They had the bye. There was no rust. And they went out there and defensively, that defensive line ate the life out of the offensive line for the Chargers. And the game was over after the Chargers scored first, because then Houston went on and scored 20 unanswered.
Well, and I texted you guys about that right away. When they settled for that early field goal, I said, boy, you settle for field goals when you're dominating like that, you're probably not going to have the outcome that you want in a game. And that game script was written right away when I thought when San Diego settled for that field goal early on. They go up 3-0, then it's 6-0, whatever the case may be. And I'm just like, man, when you start settling for field goals, you're not going to win football games, especially in the playoffs. And that's why it's so important to convert on those red zone opportunities. And, you know, we've seen the Chiefs do this over the years. And because everybody plays them competitively, though, you feel like you're dominating for an entire quarter, a half, you know, three quarters of a game. And you look up at the scoreboard and it's a one score game, or the other team is still in this thing. And you're thinking to yourself, man, we have gone out there and we've dominated, but we haven't put up the points on the scoreboard. And when you settle for field goals, you're settling for losses. And that's essentially what happened to the Chargers over the weekend. And then Justin Herbert took over and the Houston Texans defense took over, and they made Justin Herbert look like the quarterback that he is, a very nice regular season quarterback. But until he does something in the postseason, if I'm the Chargers right now, I'm thinking, do we have the right guy under center? Because we have two playoff experiences now for Justin Herbert, and both of them have been pretty miserable playoff experiences, blowing that lead that they had down in Jacksonville. And then the 4 interceptions the other day, 3 of them are on him. The one that was tipped to number 81 or whoever the hell it was that, you know, knocked the ball up in the air and ended up being a pick 6 almost, you know, for the Chargers over the weekend. But still, you go down to 4 interceptions, you've got to be better than that. It's all about how good your quarterback plays in the postseason. And if your quarterback is turning it over like it's nobody's business, like Justin Herbert did, then you're not going to win many games. And when you settle for field goals in the postseason, you're not going to win many games. Go ask Bill O'Brien when he settled for a field goal here to go up 24-0 instead of trying to punch it in and go up 28-0. Field goals don't win games for you in the postseason. And when you settle for those field goals and when you settle for 3, you're ultimately settling for a loss. And so that's why it's important this weekend when you're looking at the Chiefs going against the Houston Texans, field goals aren't going to cut it. You've got to find a way to get it into the red, to the end zone. And that's why that red zone offense is going to be so important for the Chiefs this weekend.
Yeah, obviously you cleared the protocol. They get their two big stars back. Meanwhile, there goes Henry. There goes Henry all the way for the touchdown. 44 yards.
So, Simon, if you've seen this before, Derrick Henry starting off hot in the playoffs. I've got a good feeling if the Chiefs handle business on Saturday, I assume that they will probably play the Ravens. I think that that's just where we've been since week one. It was foreshadowed. The toe out of bounds. But again, same story for Pittsburgh once again in the playoffs. That game, I didn't watch any of it. In fact, I ended up watching the Whale instead of watching that game once I saw like all this type of just dominance. You didn't need to watch that game to know how that game was going to turn out. We thought there might be a glimmer of hope on Friday that maybe Pittsburgh could carry that domination they've had over Baltimore in the playoffs, 3-1. Yeah, I don't think so. I think Pittsburgh's got a lot to do in the offseason because it's the same story, just a different year for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, and it has nothing to do with their head coach. They need a new quarterback, and they need to trade George Pickens. And those two things got to be top of the mind. You can't bring Russell Wilson back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know that you can bring Russell Wilson back to anybody right now in the NFL with the way that he's played. So you need to potentially fire the general manager in Pittsburgh too, because this is the guy who's bringing in all the talent that Mike Tomlin has to go out there and coach. And so many stories this morning about how he's not going to go anywhere, Tomlin, that is, in Pittsburgh, and they want to bring him back and whatnot. I'm still calling Pittsburgh if I've got a coach opening right now. If I'm the Jets, if I'm the Raiders, if I'm whoever right now, I'm calling Pittsburgh to find out, you know, what the asking price would be on Mike Tomlin, because it does feel like maybe there does need to be a change there, but not because Mike Tomlin is doing anything wrong. Because if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm looking to get out. I'm waving my hands up and I'm going, look, man, I don't know what more you want me to do. I've won with Duck Hodges. I've won with Mason Rudolph. I've won with Ben Roethlisberger. I've won with Justin Fields. I've won with Russell Wilson. And then you get me to the postseason and I don't stand a chance, but I've cleaned up during the regular season. There's got to be roster moves made in Pittsburgh. They need a quarterback and they need to trade George Pickens. And if they don't do those two things in the offseason, they're not going to be able to get over this hump.
Yeah, I mean, agree to disagree. I think there's, you know, a little bit of both on everything. I think the GM is obviously probably less ranked than Mike Tomlin, even though you wouldn't see that in, you know, the way that NFL franchises ran. Obviously, GM is right basically below owner and team president. But you look at the history of Pittsburgh, and it's not good. We can dive into that a little bit later as well. But yeah, like you said, I mean, it's, I don't know if I could trade George Pickens, but if he's a complete cancer problem, then yeah, there's
Chiefs
one
traded
of those
Tyreek Hill and made out all right with it.
And
that's the way you have to look at it as well. You've got to say to yourself, look, is George Pickens helping this organization move forward, or is he just going to be one of these chronic complainers? And it appears that he's a good football player, but also a chronic complainer. I mean, even after the game, he's talking about it yesterday or Sunday or Saturday, I guess it was. You know, do you see optimism moving forward? He answers no. Well, if that's the case, man, I'm looking for a haul for George Pickens. I'm trying to make my Tyreek Hill trade if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers with George Pickens to get picks back in return, because you're not going to win with George Pickens alone. You need to upgrade that team. You need to upgrade that quarterback position. And if George Pickens can bring you a haul and you can get your Trent McDuffie type of player by trading George Pickens, then by all means, you go ahead and do that.
I only wanted to play that because I wanted to give myself and Matt credit, because we said Friday that would probably be the most interesting game of the weekend, and it was.
Yeah, I think I even said to you guys, I said, I'm not interested in this game, but it'll be the best one, and it ended up being by far the best game of the weekend, and I think Jaden Daniels really showed up big, obviously. I mean, he was fantastic over the weekend. He did an unbelievable job late in the game. 4:41, I think, was the time they took over with the football left in the game. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers never got the ball back again. That's winning football right there. That's how you win games. That's how you secure the bag. You go out there, you take over that football with 4:41 to go, and you don't give it back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What a great job by the Washington football team. But again, it goes to show you change ownership, you get good leaders, you can do good things, because that was their first playoff win since 2005 that they finally won a postseason game. And what's been the biggest change? Dan Snyder finally got out of the way, and they have ownership in there that is allowing their team to play, that is allowing their team to have success, and is putting their people in position to be successful. Ownership changes immediately afterwards. They win 13 games. They win their first playoff game in 20 years, and they've changed that franchise dramatically, and it's all because of what they've done with ownership, and it's all trickled down from there. Congratulations to the Washington football team. Man, that was a hell of a win on the road last night. And Jaden Daniels may have played the best of any quarterback this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe. Allen was good. Lamar was great.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels was good.
Daniels was fantastic.
He played with all the heart he had. I mean, at one point he was bleeding from the face. He was getting launched out of bounds.
As Collinsworth said, if that's not a quarterback, we're not showing that cut. You know,
obviously, like, why would? Because
if it's a tiny little cut, it was not that big a deal. I mean,
no, but it was on the face of your team. Like, that's the quarterback.
That's right. Like, yeah, if it was an offensive lineman.
But that's obvious. Like, why would you not bring that? I mean, it's the quarterback. It's the most important player on the field.
I mean, let's not act like he had an arm hanging off. He had like a zit that popped, and that was that. So,
I would disagree with the zit, but yeah, I would say that this weekend wasn't boring. Because the text says, show the same energy you had for college football being boring. I wasn't bored. There were just better teams that won. College football, there's like two athletes on one team every time I watch it, other than Oregon or Ohio State or those type of teams. So, yeah, the same energy's not there. But don't forget, divisional round coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up, We get to review the AFC West. There were three playoff teams for that division. There's now one after 1 week. And you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
In case you fell asleep last night, because for some reason they keep these things secretly locked away forever and ever and ever and ever, the Chiefs will play Saturday at 3:30. They should have known they're playing Houston. Houston's now played in 17 consecutive playoff games on a Saturday. That is a fake stat, but it seems logical.
I think they were just kind of waiting to see maybe what the matchups were going to be. Like, I don't know why it does take this long. You're the number one seed. You had the bye. You play Saturday, right? That's just kind of the way it should
Houston
be.
Houston
right?
played Saturday, so give them a full week, like normal. Which, again, Bob, what is it? Today's Tuesday, tomorrow's
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then Tuesday is Wednesday, and the whole nine yards, and here we sit. But, yes, today is a Tuesday if you're the Chiefs. And I will say this. I think the Chiefs probably knew they were playing on Saturday because they were doing practice over the weekend.
Can you pull that trick in the household? Like, today's Tuesday? Tomorrow is Tuesday.
No, that'll screw the kids all up, you know. Not matter.
And yeah, keep them sane. You're going back to school for the first time in a month.
Thank God. Like, seriously, when you think about it, I mean, this is our first full week since before Christmas. I mean, you know, like since the week of December 16th, this is our first full 5-day week. Yeah. Well, at least it's scheduled to be a 5-day week. We'll see how the weather progresses.
Yeah. Where were you a week ago today under 10 inches of snow?
Oh my gosh.
Maybe 12.
And then the great meltdown that took place, and then it got to 7 degrees last night. It was like 50 some degrees, 40 some degrees yesterday. Everything's melting, and then you wake up this morning and it's 7 and there's ice everywhere. So be careful.
Isn't it going to be like 45 on Thursday?
It's supposed to be
45 on Friday, they say.
Yeah, Thursday and Friday are supposed to be in the 40s. Then Saturday, which, you know, I'm very upset. I have to miss Jerry Seinfeld and whatnot because of the Chiefs game. But I'd rather have the game on Saturday, Dusty, than Sunday. I mean, you look at the temperature-wise on Sunday, it's like a 20-degree difference from Saturday to Sunday. So from that standpoint, and I'll be honest with you, from a tailgating perspective, Saturday at 3:30 may be the most perfect time to have a football game at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier this year.
It's great. Right. Yeah. It really is. Like 3:30 on a Saturday, knowing that you're the first game, knowing that it's Saturday, knowing you don't have to do anything on Sunday, it's let it all hang out time at Arrowhead. So I think the crowd's going to be wild. I think the crowd's going to be into this thing. Huh. And, you know, I saw somebody this morning that covers the Texans out of Los Angeles, which was odd. And he had a bracket up, and I retweeted it if you guys want to look at it. Well, the path is clear for the Texans to get to the Super Bowl. And I'm like, the path is clear. They do have to come to Arrowhead Stadium, where they were just 3 weeks ago and suffered a defeat to the Kansas City Chiefs in the regular season when Patrick Mahomes was playing on, you know, a bum ankle. That was the first of three games in 11 days or whatever it was for the Chiefs. So you've got the
They played Cleveland, Houston, Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Right?
Cleveland, Houston, Pittsburgh. So it was that middle game, and the Chiefs went out there. I don't want to say dominated the game, but they won a regular season game, took care of business. So
they were up 27-16 with they kicked the field goal, the onside kick to do the whole thing.
Yeah. So I look at this game and I think to myself, I'm like, okay, this isn't one that you just automatically are going to win and check off. You still got to go out there and play your best football, but it worked out the way it was supposed to work out for Kansas City. We got Houston coming in. We got Saturday at 3:30, and this place is going to be wild because I think people are now starting to understand what's at stake. We've got two more wins to get for the opportunity to play for three in a row, and I know people are going to say the real AFC championship game is taking place between Baltimore and Buffalo. Just wait. We're going to hear that this week. That's the real AFC championship game between Buffalo and Baltimore, and the Chiefs are just going to continue to rack up the disrespect card, and we'll see you in New Orleans. That's just the way it goes.
Hot take alert. Should they just decide who the AFC or the MVP of the league is of whoever wins that game?
I know
the voting's done.
Is it done? I don't know that.
Is it not?
I don't know. Did they vote already?
I'm not a voter in the NFL.
Yeah.
Just in like what I can. What do you know, Matt? Do you know if it's done yet or not?
I don't. I know it's technically a regular season award.
It's supposed to be a regular season award.
Well, if it's not, then this ought to be the defining moment.
Whoever wins gets the MVP.
Why not? Well, if it's that easy. Because then they were bringing up a conversation I was watching on Sunday when the Bills were playing. Like, the last time there was a co-MVP was McNair, the late Steve McNair, and Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. Right? That was the last time there was a joint MVP.
Okay.
And
had no idea.
Yeah, that's like the only time in my lifetime, at least, there's been a literally both guys were the MVP, which, again, whatever that means. But, I mean, you could give it to both. You could say this guy deserves it more than the other guy. Why don't you just decide who wins the game?
Yeah, right? That's fair.
I mean, to me, that's the ultimate tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys are both neck and neck and you have one chance to see who goes to the NFC Championship game and who doesn't, who is more valuable, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen?
Well, I mean,
decision made.
We're already talking about this game, and it's the last playoff game because it is the one that everybody is going to be looking forward to, obviously. It's the it's the best game by far on the
it's
docket.
It's got the most right? action.
It really does, and it's got the most, I think, cachet, too. I mean, you're talking about Lamar.
7-3.
Yes, exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be a 7-3 final, and, you know, somebody scores the touchdown with no time remaining to, you know, get rid of a 3-0 deficit for the entire game. But, no, I'm looking forward to that one more than anything because I think that's the one that, you know, you just get to sit back and watch and go, okay, I don't care who wins this football game. I hope it's a great football game, and I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a great nightcap for the playoffs on Sunday afternoon. And so we get the opportunity to get our game taken care of early and then watch everybody else and then kind of regroup. And, you know, I guess the people out there who think that the NFL is in love with the Chiefs, meanwhile refs are apologizing to the quarterback for Buffalo, are going to say, man, the Chiefs get that first game, then they get all this extra time to rest for the AFC Championship game, because essentially they're going to have an entire day's worth of rest more than the team that plays on Sunday night.
No doubt. We talked all week, last week, about how good the AFC West was. The AFC West, two teams that played out of that division lost this weekend. Both quarterbacks did not look good.
Neither of them did.
I think the big takeaway I look from this is that, like, this is the NFL in a nutshell. There are six really good teams. There are about 5 to 6 good teams. And then there's like a little bit of an average, and then there's just bad teams, right? They're like the top 10 teams in the draft are all like the most wins is like 6, mm-hmm. right? And then there's that little grouping of like the 8 and 9s or the 8 and 10s, whatever, 8 and 9 and 9 and 8, whatever they are. And then there's Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, Lions, Vikings,
Ravens,
all those teams. And again, you go to Buffalo, like, these are games that they should have won. Like, Buffalo should have won that game. Houston played at home. I should have put more emphasis into that when I thought about that matchup against L.A. versus Houston. But, again, L.A. goes up, what, 6-0 right out of the chute and then just disappeared. It was gone. And, like, you know, I'm getting texts or I'm seeing tweets, and it's just like, here comes the real Justin Herbert. It was not a good looking for Justin Herbert in the playoffs. And, I mean, it makes me think that this division is still good. But it lets me know that there is one superior team, which is the Chiefs, which is unfair to everybody else in the AFC West. Because to me, one team went 15-2 this year. Nobody else did. That was the Kansas City Chiefs. They're the best team in football, let alone the best team in the AFC, best team in the AFC West. It all trickles down. But I mean, I will say this. I said it earlier in the opening. Justin Herbert now has a scarlet letter on his chest, and that is, you, sir, are a good regular season quarterback. But when it matters, which quarterbacks get paid, you don't look that great.
Yeah, you didn't look great. And Bo Nix obviously didn't look great either, save the first drive that they had, you know, for the Denver Broncos. But he's a rookie, right? This is Justin Herbert's now second opportunity in the postseason. If you play your first postseason game, and again, we can't compare anything to Patrick Mahomes because he takes everything to a new level. Mm-hmm. You're playing in your first playoff game in the NFL. You're expected to have some struggles. That's going to be okay. But when you're playing in your second game in the NFL and you're looked at and you're being talked about in that upper echelon of quarterbacks, you just have to play better than what Justin Herbert did. And if we're ranking who had the worst performance, to me, you could easily say Bo Nix, but to me, it's a very simple equation. It's Justin Herbert that had the worst weekend because he had a great regular season. He was fantastic during the regular season. People were loving up Justin Herbert, and he went into that postseason game and laid a total colossal egg and didn't give his team a chance and an opportunity to win. But I still think the AFC West is going to be good in the regular season. I think Denver's just going to get better because now they get rid of all that cap space that they didn't have because of Russell Wilson's contract. So they get that money back that they can go out there and spend. Sean Payton, clearly he's impressed me as a head coach this year and really last year with the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix, you know, came on strong in the regular season as well. So I still, and if Pete Carroll ends up going to, you know, to Las Vegas, my God, I mean, I think the AFC West is on the come. I do. And I think one bad moment in the postseason, or one bad game, I should say, in the postseason, shouldn't diminish that both of those teams are still going to be around for the regular season. And it's only getting tougher and tougher and tougher for the Chiefs to go out there and win that AFC West.
Yeah, Bo Nix, their opening scripted drive, as Mac alluded in our text line or our text group, Yeah, they had the opening drive script. They threw the bomb over the middle, mm-hmm. caught the touchdown. He threw for 82 yards the rest of the game.
The rest of the game. I know I had him on underdog trying to get him over 229 yards.
Well, you hit your one, so that was good.
Yeah, hit one over the weekend.
Nailed that Chargers-Texans one. I mean, almost by the first half.
Yeah.
Got the sack, had the yardage, had the receptions, and, had the touchdown.
Yeah.
But, again, I think with Bo Nix, he threw for 82 yards after that first drive. He threw for 0 yards in the third quarter.
That's crazy to me.
Zero. In a playoff game.
I know,
like,
I know.
You've got to at least complete a pass for a 5-yard gain.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything. Buffalo's defense isn't like end of the world defense, but I think that's where there's so much difference. And people will say, like, well, it was blowout city for a lot of teams. I mean, you look at Bo Nix, he went into Buffalo and right out of the chute looked good. And then it was like the playoffs started to come alive,
yep.
and the Buffalo Bills looked unscathed after that big drive. They went out there, methodically moved the ball down the field, got a field goal, got the ball back, got a touchdown, got a generous defensive, whatever the play was, where they called defensive pass interference or whatever, it was illegal or unsportsmanlike contact with a hit that ended up being a touchdown for Buffalo.
Right.
Regardless, they still got beat by more than 30, almost 30. What was it?
38-7.
Yeah. 31 points.
Yeah.
So, again, that just shows you now Denver and LA will go into the offseason and be like, okay, we were good enough to get here, but if we're going to continue to be good enough, we've got to do a little bit more to get further than that. Obviously, LA went on the road. Denver went on the road. Both teams lost. Home games and playoff. We go back to the Chiefs. Why the first round bye is so vital and so important. Now Houston, who comes to Kansas City, who hasn't won here since 2019, October 13th, 2019, they've got to come to Arrowhead, where not only the players are rested, not only the coaches are rested, but the fans are ready to get excited. And you know Arrowhead on a playoff, you'll be there.
Yep.
It'll be nuts by the time. There'll be John TV. You'll be out there at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning. Be like, the line has already started and the smokers are cooking.
Yeah, Ralph, we're not going that early, buddy.
No, you can get there like at 11:30 and sleep
in. See, that's, again, why the 3:30 game is great. Mm-hmm. Get up in the morning, have your coffee, make sure you drop your deuce before you roll to a Port-A-John, and you take care of business out in the parking lot and you have some fun, right? You get everything kind of underway. You don't have to get up early. It's just perfect for all of that. But home field does matter. It really does. I mean,
it's
like,
huge.
People were talking about, you know, the Chiefs resting their players, right? That seemed like it was so long ago. It's been, you know, 3 weeks now since Christmas, right? That 3 weeks went by just like that. And I don't want to talk about myself in this, but I got hurt running the other day, right? Mm. And I know, like, I haven't run in 3 days. Boy, my leg feels so much better. Fat guy not running for 3 days, and it made such a difference by not doing anything. Can you imagine having 2 full weeks off as an NFL player getting ready to go into the postseason? How great these guys must feel, how younger they must feel, how excited they are right now. Like, this is their time. This is their moment. This is when the Kansas City Chiefs come to play, and they're rested and they're ready to go. They've had a bye week. They've been preparing. They've already beaten Houston one time this season. Like, I think we're going to see an unbelievable performance from this team, because this is now where they turn it on, Dusty, where everybody says, I ain't beat anybody by a lot. They weren't that good in the regular season. This feels like the postseason where they just go out and smoke show everybody, man.
Overreaction Monday, because it is a Monday as we start here with our overreactions. Bob, your name's on the list first, so feel free to go ahead and campaign for your guy.
All right, Mike Tomlin, most underappreciated coach ever in the NFL, and he should be the one demanding a trade right now. This is the guy who should say, look, you haven't given me a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger. You're saddling me with this George Pickens clown who all he does is complain, get his diva wide receiver out of here. I want to trade if I'm Mike Tomlin. That's what I would do. The Chargers should take offers for Justin Herbert right now. In my opinion, he's the Marty of quarterbacks. He can get you to here, but he's not going to be able to get you to here. And if you're starting to rank quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud is a better quarterback than Justin Herbert and Bo Nix, because he's able to get the job done in the postseason. So that's kind of my overreactions from the playoffs over this weekend.
Mike Tomlin, yeah, we got to talk about that more. Lamar Jackson needs to do it against a good team. Everyone's praising him. Pittsburgh team was bad, man. They were bad for the last month of the season. I should have picked the Ravens spread. I thought I went with past precedent in that rivalry. I should have gone with what those two teams are playing like right now.
Remember this for next year when we look at the first round playoff games and think they're going to be close. They really haven't been close.
They haven't. And again, past precedent didn't matter in that rivalry. The Ravens are much better talent-wise, coach. I mean, just everything. It was varsity versus JV. And I'd rather watch bad NFL playoff games than a good college playoff game any day.
Yeah, I don't even know if that's an overreaction.
Thank you.
I'd rather watch Buffalo. I'd rather watch a playoff game in the NFL than I'd rather watch the national title game in college football. That's just a fact.
It depends on what the game's going to be like. If it's a 41-17 game on either side, I have no interest. Give me a close game on either side, I'm in. You got to give me that hook right there. And you had mentioned on Saturday night you didn't watch that game. What was the hook? What was the hook to watch that game, right?
Sucks.
You've got to grab people with these games. If they're going to be blowouts, then yeah, you're right. People are going to walk away from
it. I mean,
it
was 14-0 and Derrick Henry had 82 yard rushing on like 7 carries. The game was over.
It was done. Yeah.
Once you give Baltimore that cushion and they can just run the ball out. I mean, Lamar only threw for what, like 170 yards, ran for like 65 or whatever it was, and that was it. Mm-hmm. My overreaction is I think we forget how good the real good teams are. I talked about that earlier. I think we forget that when we get into the playoffs. Everybody says, oh, these were terrible. These were blowouts. Like you said, Bob, this happens before. This is the way it is. The NFL is the product. It is the place to be when it comes to sports entertainment right now in the world.
Yep.
And we forget Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, two MVP quarterbacks. Josh Allen was fantastic in his game.
He was great.
And the Bills were better than the Broncos. The Bills are probably, what, the third, maybe the second best team in the NFL. If you want to put the Lions up there with the Chiefs, you can. Mm-hmm. If you want to put the Ravens above them, you can. But again, your top four teams in the NFL, two of them had byes. The other two dominated their performances because they're that much better, because that's the way the NFL is. My other one is this. Sometimes love can go stale. And I don't mean Jordan Love, because he was stale. I mean Pittsburgh. If I'm Tomlin and I'm the ownership, it's just time to part ways. And somebody who covers Pittsburgh sports, Andrew Filippone, said the Steelers' last five playoff games, this is his credit, not mine, the last five playoff games, the Steelers have found themselves down 21-0, 28-0, 35-7, 28-0, 21-0. It's a small sample, and it dates back to 2017, but something's got to give there, is Filippone's take. Look, I think Tomlin's a good dude. I just think his time has ran out in Pittsburgh. I compared it to Marty Schottenheimer in Kansas City. Yeah, 14-2, 13-3, 12-4. Those are all great. But if we go out here and we knock these quarterbacks about how you got to be good in the playoffs, sometimes if you're that great of a coach and you can take that team to the next level, the regular season doesn't matter. The playoffs matter. And Mike Tomlin is now 8-11 in the playoffs. And again, they have had massive trails in games dating back to 2017. And it's just, I just think it's gone stale. I think you just have to have a divorce. Like, the love is not there. You're sleeping in different beds, on different levels of the couch. You have different views in life at this point. It's time to just move on. I know Pittsburgh's going to bring him back because it's hard to find good head coaches.
It is, yeah.
But again, like, what do they have to show for it? I still firmly believe that Tomlin won a title with a little bit of the leftovers of Bill Cowher.
But those rosters are made by the general managers, you know? Like, it wasn't like Bill Cowher went out there and procured all of this talent. Mike Tomlin took over a team that was made by the general manager. And this general manager that's in place now, I don't even know who the GM was at the time when Cowher was in Pittsburgh. But this GM at the time right now, they're not giving this guy a quarterback to work with. And I don't disagree with you that a divorce probably does need to happen. Like, I don't love you anymore. You don't love me.
What
like,
are we doing?
This is a convenience for the kids type of thing.
The kids are old now. You can
right,
split.
Exactly. Yeah. But if I'm Mike Tomlin, though, I'm asking for that trade. I'm the one that's saying, hey, man, I'm ready to go. I'm going to take this off your plate. Trade me to, if you're Mike Tomlin, where do you want to go?
Wherever you want.
The Bears.
Wouldn't mind
the Raiders.
That. Wouldn't mind that.
Jacksonville's open. Dallas, potentially. I mean, this Dallas thing, Dallas is going to dominate the storylines this week. Just so you know, just get ready for Dallas to dominate the storylines this week. They're never good enough to play during this week of the season, so they'll dominate it with something that happens off the field, whether it's re-signing Mike McCarthy, trading for Mike Tomlin, hiring Deion Sanders, whatever the case may be. But if I'm Mike Tomlin, I would say, look, man, I'm ready to go as well. And that's what you have to decide. If you're Pittsburgh right now, are you ready to part ways with Mike Tomlin? Has it grown stale? And if it has, do you have another number 10 or a number 9 behind that door that you can replace Mike Tomlin with? Because Pittsburgh has had three coaches in our lifetimes, and they've all been Super Bowl winning head coaches.
This, according to Twitter or X, whatever you call it, since Mike Tomlin's last playoff win, Doug Peterson was fired. Doug Peterson's won a Super Bowl. Doug Peterson was fired. Doug Peterson was hired. Doug Peterson won a playoff game, and Doug Peterson was fired.
That's pretty funny when you put it like that, right?
Don't forget today, we're passing out T-shirts. Carrington Harrison, Rob Britton, they get to do their duty to pass out T-shirts today. The Gates T-shirts that we have made for your playoff T-shirts. Thanks to our friends over at Gates Barbecue to be on the lookout on how to get those today. You can get those today at 10 o'clock. They'll be passing those out. Hopefully the boss is out there with them too, because it's a chilly one here on a Monday. But coming up on the other side, there was a hire at head coach. You know who it was. It was Mike Vrabel. I'll tell you what Rob Gronkowski, actually I will play you what Rob Gronkowski had to say, because I think he might be listening to the show that we call Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That entire break, I was just singing Blink-182, Stay Together for the Kids, talking about Mike Tomlin. So here's your holiday. Hope you enjoy it this time. You gave it all away. That's like one of the lines. Back at it, 96.5 The Fan, Fesco, Dusty, Mac here on a Monday for the first time in a while. But it is frigid cold, but hey, it's January 13th,
January, right?
Get used to it. Chiefs Houston, 3:30 Saturday. You can hear all that action here on 96.5 The Fan. Josh, Danan, Mitch, we'll have DJ, linebacker great here. Derek Johnson will join us at 7:15, 7:20, somewhere around there here on 96.5 The Fan on Fesco and Dusty. Plus, don't forget, 7,000 Squibb Road, 10 o'clock, our playoff T-shirts brought to you by Gates. You can pick those up today while supplies last. They're going to go fast. There's going to be a line in the parking lot. There always is, which means 9:59, boys, let's just go. You know what I mean? Let's run to the car and get out. I'm kidding. We'll say hi. We'll give you a little bit of a high five and see how your day is going on a Monday. But don't forget, 7,000 Squibb Road, that's where you can pick up these shirts at 10 a.m. Carrington and Rob will be the ones handing them out. So you can say hi to both of them and get Carrington's take about how he just does not like the NFL playoffs. I don't know if that's the actual quote. He just says it's not. He said it's not a good product. It's just marketed well.
Okay, I did see that like in one of the very rare texts that I saw come through on that thread over the weekend. Because what does he mean by that, though? Like, if you don't like the NFL postseason, right? Like, what do you like in sports? Because college basketball sucks. College football is good for a few. Major League Baseball is provincial, and it's good only if your team is winning at that point in time. The NBA is unwatchable. He's not a hockey fan because we don't have a team here in Kansas City. I don't know if he's a pickleball fan. Does he like the team pickleball or anything like
huge,
that?
Yes, yes.
Or
pickleball is fun.
It's great. It's a great sport. Maybe he likes motocross. I don't know. Like, as a sports fan, I was excited for this weekend. Yeah, the games didn't live up to expectation, but the college playoff games didn't live up to expectation. Sometimes things don't meet your expectation. And if your expectation going into the weekend was that every game was going to be close, they were going to be these amazing football games, well, then no, your expectation level wasn't met. But if you went in to the postseason where you're like, I'm just going to sit down and chill this weekend and watch some football, like I did, then your expectation was met this weekend. I like weekends like that where I just don't have to worry, just kick back and watch. If the game's not good, go find something else to do. Nobody says you have to sit there and watch it. Like, if you don't get joy out of something, why do you consume it and then complain about it? I just don't consume college basketball anymore.
I will say that there's been two good college football games so far. That Arizona State Texas game was good. Penn State Notre Dame was good, right?
Yeah.
Those are the two.
Yeah.
Chance of the playoff, the championship could be good. Notre Dame, Ohio State could be a good one. That's a week from today, right?
What defines a good game, too? Because your definition may be completely different than mine.
Competitive,
and
like you don't know what's going to happen. You're kind of back and forth, which, in all honesty, it doesn't really happen a whole lot in sports. But again, that game last night, Washington-Tampa Bay, was great.
Great game.
There's
a
chance tonight, Minnesota and the Rams could be a great – I think it will be a good game.
Yes.
I honestly do. I think it's set up for that. But again, could end up being like 38-14 Minnesota wins. And you're like, well, crap, there was one good game. But then next weekend, you know, if it's a bad product, then every team that's at home will win in a blowout fashion, which will not be the case. I will be going into this Houston Texans Chiefs game this week a little more humble than most times in the past because, you know, what's at stake for this team this year, which is a three-peat, which is what's at stake for us. They get to the Super Bowl. We all go to New Orleans. We get to have a life-changing experience, at least for Mac and I. I've never done this before. So a little bit biased if they can get there. But again, I mean, look, there's a chance there could be two solid games out of the, six games total this weekend, right? There's three NFC, three AFC, and two out of the six are decent. I mean, that's, I guess I'll take that. But
again, I mean, like what's your expectation is?
I get what he's saying, though. There's literally, like what we were talking about earlier, there's good teams and there's great teams. And in the playoffs, they've extended the playoff, right? There's more teams that get in, which means there's more of subpar teams.
That's right.
Just like in college football, there's more of those, you know, not great teams that get in that play good teams, and then it happens. With college football, the reason we were really mad about that was because of how they did the seeding, right? Like, they could have done that differently, and we would have might have had a different sort of outcome in different games. Like, not having Boise State get a bye, play them in the first round, maybe they get to see Ashton Jeanty go actually do his thing instead of wait a week, play a game against the superior team, and then just, you know, get beat. But again, right. I digress on that. Yeah,
but also, too, like, when you start to think about it and say, you know, to do that, the say it out loud test, everybody keeps saying we want more when it comes to these playoffs, right? We want more teams in the playoffs. We fight over who the 13th team should be in college. We're fighting over who, you know, the 15th team should be in the NFL. I mean, my God, there was an entire week spent that a subpar Cincinnati team, you know, should have been in the postseason. And, you know, we really, in all honesty, should start the playoffs this weekend and have the top four teams in the AFC against the top four teams in the NFC. And then you'll probably get those great games that you want. But if they did that, then people would complain, oh, there's not enough playoff games and blah, 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 and the NFL wouldn't make enough money and, you know, the whole nine yards. So do we want more playoff games, or do we just want two rounds of the postseason that lead into the Super Bowl where you're almost guaranteed to have good matchups? But again, you're not even guaranteed to have good matchups. Chiefs could win 38-10 on Saturday afternoon and everybody's going, boy, these playoffs stink. Everybody's blowing everybody out, right? Or they could all be close games this weekend. So I'd rather have the games and see what they're going to be all about. If they're not good, you don't like them, walk away and find something else to do. There's no foul in that.
No foul in the new hire. The first domino has fallen. Mike Vrabel has taken the job in New England. This is Rob Gronkowski on Fox's pregame show about what he thinks about the hire and what should happen.
The New England Patriots got their guy this morning, and Patriot great Mike Vrabel. And let me tell you, Patriot fans are thrilled. This guy is going to keep everyone accountable in the organization, from the coaching staff to the players. He's going to keep himself accountable, and even the front office he's going to keep accountable. And let me tell you, once again, this guy has knowledge. He has the power. And he's going to be great. He knows how to discipline players. And if I'm Mike Vrabel, there's the first thing I would do is call up and dial up the number of Josh McDaniels, a familiar foe to Patriot fans, and hire him as the offensive coordinator familiar as soon foe. As possible.
I think somebody said
your friend.
That. I'm say, like, I don't know.
Wasn't he with them for a long time? That's not a foe.
That's not a foe, but
whatever they want
nice
to say.
Way to go, Gronk.
You're getting
some people are good as coordinators. Josh McDaniels was really good as an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Really good offensive coordinator. I don't know if that's the right, like anytime people want to put the band back together, I always kind of go cringe a little bit on that, because usually when you put the band back together, you're not making the best of decisions. Mike Vrabel should not try to go in there and reinvent Bill Belichick. That's when you get into trouble. Go in there and be yourself, man. You got that head coaching job. Mike Vrabel has the confidence to be a head coach. He believes in himself, and rightfully so. He doesn't look over his shoulder. Go hire who you want. Don't go hire Josh McDaniels because he used to work there and it went well with Tom Brady as your quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I mean he also did well with Matt Castle in that random year, which gave him a little bit more clout. I think that's a okay hire. I think Josh McDaniels is one of those guys that can do it as long as he doesn't have all of it on his slate. Like, as long as he doesn't have to draft, even though the last quarterback that got drafted by the Broncos to win a playoff game was Tim Tebow. I think he's the only quarterback that was drafted by the Broncos to win a playoff game, because John Elway wasn't drafted by the Broncos.
Right.
Yeah.
What about Jake Plummer? Did he win a playoff game?
I think he got drafted by the Arizona Cardinals.
That's right, he did.
Or the Phoenix Cardinals back in the
that's
day.
That's right, he did, yeah.
Peyton Manning wasn't drafted.
No, was not.
And that's the last time they won a playoff game. Before that, it was Tebow. Before that, it was what, Elway maybe?
Or Jake Plummer, but I don't know if he... What about that guy whose father, Greasy, was he drafted by the Broncos? Did he win a playoff game?
I don't think he won a playoff game. I don't know. The stat I saw this weekend was Tim Tebow
is the only drafted quarterback?
Yes.
And guess who drafted him?
How many drafted Josh quarterbacks McDaniels. Have won a playoff game for the Chiefs? I'm going to go on record and say Patrick Mahomes is the only drafted quarterback to win a playoff game for the Chiefs.
I mean, they didn't do the draft with Dawson, did they?
Dawson wasn't drafted by the Texans.
Kansas City Chiefs.
No, he was not. He was a Pittsburgh Steeler.
They weren't the Chiefs, though.
No, he was not drafted by this organization. He signed here as a free agent.
I know, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of, like, drafted quarterbacks for the Chiefs to win a playoff, probably only Patrick Mahomes.
It's interesting. Hard to do.
I bet you if you start to go through that stat for a lot of teams, there aren't many that have many drafted quarterbacks.
It's just a loud stat after a loud loss.
Yeah.
Like it plays.
But again, with stats, like you can paint them to be anything that you want them to be, right? Mm-hmm. That stat right there. He's the only quarterback who's ever drafted by the team to win a playoff game for Denver is Tim Tebow. Well, the only quarterback to win a playoff game for Kansas City, I do believe, is Patrick Mahomes.
Coming up on the other side, I think it's okay to take a humble approach. You can do whatever you want. You have the right to your own opinion, but I think it's okay to take a humble approach into this week's playoff game against the Houston Texans. I'll try to defend that as best I can on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.